Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
I'm Carrie.
Guys, welcome back to the Game Junkies podcast. We've got a couple of things coming your way. Later on, we've got Kerry delivering her first review of a game. Obviously, I reviewed Metal Gear Solid at length, which made Alex's eyes roll back in his head. Alex reviewed Mass Effect 3, and obviously had a lot of fun doing it. And now it's Kerry's turn to do her first solo game review. Looking forward to hearing what you got here, Kerry, for sure. But before we get to that, we're going to discuss something very important. As you listen to it, as this goes out, it is literally 5 days until EGX 2021. Now, myself, Alex and Kerry, we're all going to be there. We're going to be recording and we're going to be reporting from the game floor. And a review of that will be in the next episode. Conveniently, it's literally perfect time for us to go and put out next episode. It works quite well. This is quite a big deal because this is the first non-digital gaming convention in 18 months. The last one was PAX East in February 2020. And obviously, me and Alex were set to go to EDX Res in 2020. Didn't happen, nor the same obviously didn't happen with EDX last year or Res this year, but we're going to this one. And obviously, it's Kerry's first time and she's very excited, aren't you?
I mean, it's both the first event of this scale and this type of thing that I've run to, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you are going to love it. Alex's first time was last time, of course. Alex, your thoughts about going back to EGX?
Seems a bit odd. I suppose for the most part, we've all been locked up for the last 18 months. We haven't gone anywhere. So it feels a little alien, but at the same time, I'm really excited to go back.
I can't wait. I can't wait. The fact I get to see my extended family, for lack of a better term, for the last 18 months, you guys have helped keep me sane. It's been great. And to get a chance to meet Kerry in person at last properly. She even dabbed, fantastic. Or half dabbed, anyway. Of course, we're also going to take in one of your adventures, the first one they've done in person in 18 months as well. So that's fantastic as well. Kerry's first taste of that in person. And, and of course, so many games to talk about as well. So many games looking for that we could be getting our hands on. We're going to talk about some of them now, and obviously some may get revealed between now and the show going live to the public next Thursday. So we're going to go through some of the games we're looking forward to now. We're going to take it into a round table style, and we're going to start with Kerry. Now there is many games of AAA nature. You know, like, obviously the first game me and I played last time we were there was Call of Duty, a AAA game. But we found most of our love in the Res Zone because that's where you found the... not to say that the games didn't have a lot of love put into them, but you felt this was passion and hard work and blood, sweat and tears. And in one case, we even found out, literally was a case of someone coming up with it while sofa surfing because they lost all their money on their previous project. So,
that was quite the experience, that one.
Hearing the story behind that was amazing. You don't get that from Call of Duty. You don't get that.
Then we also got to meet Eddie Morrison after playing Death Trap Dungeon. So the Res section...
is where it's at.
There's a lot more compassion in the Res section than there is in the AAA. I mean, the AAA games are always going to be good.
Yeah.
But they just don't feel quite... they just don't have the same, like... they just... I don't know, Res... the indie games just hit different. in my opinion, and they don't get nearly as much love as they should. Like Final Fantasy, Call of Duty, they were packed, but the Red section was mostly quiet,
and we loved
it, which is a shame. Because honest to God, we had more fun in Rezzed than we did in the main section.
For sure. So yeah, as I was saying, Kerry, what's the first game that you're excited about getting your hands on? Is it a Rezzed game? Is it? Or is it from the quote main area?
No, I'm starting in the Rezzed section. This
good
is
place to start.
Actually a game if I'm remembering correctly, I saw on Reddit 2 days before, or one of the devs talking about it on Reddit 2 days before I saw it on the Rezzed page, and that is A Juggler's Tale.
It looks amazing.
I don't know a massive amount of it at the moment. I've watched the trailer and a flicked through the Reddit post to see if I could find out a bit more. It's a game about marionettes, from what I can gather, it's about solving riddles and traps and escaping things chasing you, but you have strings coming down from the top of the screen. And from what I've gathered, if you try to run under something, the strings can get caught, so you have to find another way around. And the backgrounds on it are beautiful. It just seems like a really, really inventive concept.
These are the sort of things you can find all over Rezzed. This is another beautifully looking game, innovative, as you say, and you know, who doesn't love puppets?
Well,
I suppose there's always the odd smiler, perhaps, but
Sesame Street puppets, yes, creepy old antique shop mannequin puppet, like marionettes with the cross strings and and the flapping mouths.
Noted. Crosses that out of book in D&D. Right, okay.
Oh no, bring it in.
Okay, so A Juggler's Tale. It looks beautiful. It really does. It's a great choice, Kerry, for sure. We'll be seeking that out. Probably day one, to be fair. Okay, let's go to Alex next. What is your first choice, sir?
Okay, so one of the main standouts for me, because it reminds me of a lot of a game that we played when we went there originally, that's Formula Retro Racing. It does look really good. Because what it reminds me of, though the difference is that the original one we played was Bird's Eye View, but we played a Bird's Eye View race and indie game with their developers back in 2019.
He did, yes, we did.
Yeah, it was quite funny because they were explaining to us like the aerodynamics in the works to go into cars and the way cars actually are. And me being like a car enthusiast, I'm getting exactly where these people are coming from. And then me and Matt decided, being the way we are, challenged them to a race. So
for sure.
We had a four-way race with the developers. All I'm going to say is, within 10 laps, I lapped everyone twice.
He's competitive, though, Alex, for sure.
How many people, though, can say they've played a game with the devs?
And lapped the devs on a racetrack.
And that.
We actually had a couple of times during EJX last time where we actually got hands on the game with the devs at the same time.
Do you remember the mobile one we played? It was like a mini D&D on the mobile.
It was sort of like Werewolf. It was brilliant.
You're a group of adventurers. It's 4-player co-op, and one player has to try and get the other players killed. Oh. And I was that player. It's basically Among Us on the mobile, but D&D.
Yeah.
I managed to kill everyone. I was a bad guy and I managed to kill everyone.
My brother, the murderer.
And I managed to get one of the devs voted out like immediately because I pinned it on her. I can't remember her name now.
Unfortunately, I can't either, but I'm hoping we see them again because they were good fun and it was a great game.
I've got to look at what that was called now because that game was fantastic.
Indeed, we'll look it up. We should look that up for sure. Right, Oof, so many choices. So many choices. I'm sticking to the red section as well. For my first one. My one is Kiwi.
I've looked at this one.
Kiwi, which is K-E-Y-W-E. Kiwi is an adorable cooperative postal puzzle game with two Kiwi birds called Jeff and Deborah. You know, normal name for birds, you know. And they're working in a post office. They've got to jump, flap, pack, peck, and butt slam their way across an interactive landscape of levers, bells, and buttons to get their message delivered on time. Wow. The sort of lunacy we want. When you when you play a video game, you want to be an escapist thing. We're going to use the expression again. Call of Duty is great. No question, Call of Duty is great. But you see wars and things in the world all the time, unfortunately. This is a complete escape from reality. It's completely bizarre. It's completely bonkers. I want to play it.
If only your nephew could hear you saying Call of Duty is not that great.
I'm saying it's great. I'm not saying it's not great. I'm just saying that if I'm playing a video game to escape reality, that's what I'll be going for. Something ridiculous, outrageous, and just fun.
Yeah.
For sure. That one. For sure. So Kiwi is one of what I'm making my near top of my list for sure. Okay, Kerry, we've obviously got many to choose from. We're not going to name more right now. We're going to name some of the ones we're looking for in general. So, Kerry, what's your next one that you've got half your eye on?
Okay, I'm going to be a bit cheeky with this one because the one I'm actually looking at has precisely one line about it, and it doesn't really tell you that much.
Right.
It's Frame of Mind. I was kind of taken in by like the Vaporwave Outrun cover art, because I like that sort of thing. And it says, a first-person narrative game letting you step into art like never before, which doesn't really tell you a whole lot, so...
It doesn't. I'm
intrigued. So,
it doesn't at all, does it?
Whilst I've mentioned that one, I'm going to move up to a different one, which has a bit more of a description to it. I mean, don't get me wrong, Frame of Mind is as intriguing as all hell, given the fact I know nothing about it. And I'm going to move up to something called Dark Fracture. A psychological horror experience in which you explore an ever-changing world where reality and nightmares collide. Walk on the edge of madness in the shoes of a tormented soul as you descend into the darkest depths of the human psyche and question everything you see.
Wow.
This sounds like the good shit. Sorry for the swearing.
No, you're good. That's bearing in mind how littered the horror genre is with amazing games. You've got Resident Evil, you've got your Layers of Fear, you've got
Five Nights at Freddy's, are you thinking of?
Five Nights at Freddy's is one of them. I'm thinking of there was a great game, Hostel the film.
Zombies in South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Oh god, Nazi zombies.
D&D Halloween special.
That's no one. There is a lot of horror games out there for sure. This one sounds good, really, really good. Outlast, what I'm thinking of. Outlast with the game.
Ah, okay.
So, Outlast, the game I'm thinking of.
This one sounds like it could get heavy at points, and that's kind of what I like in games.
Again, it's an escape from reality. I'm liking that. It's one that I want to check out for sure. Over 4 days, we've got plenty of time to check all of these out at length, of course. Kerry just steepled her fingers and had this look of like, speaking of psychos, Alex, what's your next pick?
Okay, so my next one's a little random for me.
Really?
What caught me at first was the art style in the name, and then I read the description for it. It's called Hookup.
Yes.
If you've seen it, the art style is absolutely incredible. If that is the art style for the game, yeah. A woman matches with her high school bully on a dating app, and chaos ensues. Explore Alex's dating profile to discover the story behind the hookup. I love the art style. The main character is called Alex, which instantly caught me. I do like romance games, and I think this might have a bit of it in, but it also just sounds really comical for what
point
it
of,
is.
Point of order. You EDX and dating simulators do not go hand in hand, Alex. Virtual
reality simulators. Oh, wait, no, this wasn't virtual reality. This was just a really... To be fair, it had the same programming as Surgeon Simulator. And if you try to play Surgeon Simulator, you learn you are not a surgeon very quickly.
Yes, I've played it on the Game Pass. But I'm talking to you about the fact of somehow you managed to...
Yeah, I literally broke their game.
You broke their game, Alex, because you managed to get dumped by everyone because you chose really stupid answers.
To be fair, if you played that game, you would know the struggles of it. But no, this one just sounds really comical. And I think because of the title, it's of what they've called it, I think it's going to be one of those games at EGX which is really underrated and not like viewed by many people. That's why I'm kind of intrigued with it.
It's one that should get your attention.
I think it's one that will probably be overlooked a bit by the name alone, which is why I want to view that one and have a go at it.
I look forward to that one for sure. I'll give you my one, then we'll go around the horn a couple more times, and then we'll move on. But so my next one, it's Cheftastic.
Cheftastic, what's that one?
It's Cheftastic. Cheftastic Buffet Blast. Is an exciting top-down arcade shooter. Take back the Isle of Vendura from Swarm of Mutant Vegetables and climb your way to the top of the leaderboard. It's old-school top-down shooter and you're a chef shooting vegetables. Sounds like my idea, Heaven. It's nice, clean, wholesome fun.
That's oddly wholesome.
Yeah, it is. I'll give it that.
It's right up my street. As a chef, I'm all about that. It's kind of awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing what else it has, because obviously that's not all is happening in the game. but it's on my wish list. I'm following them on Twitter, so I'll keep my eye across it at length. The gameplay video is now out on YouTube, so if people want to check that out beforehand, they can do so. Right. Okay, Kez, what's your next one?
I'm kind of balancing between two on this one.
Okay.
How many more times are we going around?
You got no one after this one, so fun.
All right, cool. I'm not really sure what to say about this one, but Lust from Beyond.
Lust from Beyond.
Yeah, it's also going to die.
The thumbnail, from what I can gather, is a pair of breasts being groped.
And addition, which probably stands for mature, I'm guessing.
Yes.
I'm going to guess so. Descend into Madness, inspired by H.P. Lovecraft and H.R.
Geiger.
I'm going to pronounce this Geiger.
H.R. Geiger is the guy who created the original Alien.
Yeah. The names I've heard, I'm just not good at pronouncing words.
That's fine.
And then you got Cult and Cross the Gates to Blasphemous Land. And when it says survival horror, more accessible cut of the fan favorite survival horror Lust from Beyond. So is it an erotic game? Is it a horror game? Is it both? Is it every Warlock's fantasy put into a game?
Warlock and Bard crossover, yes. It sounds amazing in a way, but at the same time, it also sounds absolutely horrifying and I want to burn it with fire. But at the same time, I want to play it. It's really weird. That's a weird combination.
In my head, looking at it, I get a lot of the same vibes I do with Hookup, in the sense that I think it will be a really underrated game going on the thumbnail and name alone, which is why I think games like this are probably going to be some of the better ones.
So do you reckon people will dismiss it just because they'd see it as silly or something like that?
Sometimes.
People always judge books by their covers, regardless of the fact that it says don't judge a book by its cover. People always do, don't they?
I mean, I admit I did laugh at the thumbnail bit because at the age of 27, I'm very mature like that. Like, ha ha, breast grouping.
But that's the really weird thing is that you see that a lot. I mean, the queue last time out when we were there for Final Fantasy, it was ridiculous. The queue for Pokemon was mad. And in the red section, I mean, bear in mind, I mean, yes, we keep name dropping it, it's a fact though. We met a Hollywood star in the red section and nobody was paying any attention to him.
Because it was in the red section and not in the likes of Cyberpunk or Call of Duty.
If he'd been up there on the main stage with Eurogamer and out on Xbox and Dicebreaker and all that stuff, then he would have been absolutely mobbed. But he wasn't. He was in the red section because he was the guy doing the voice for the game. So it made sense for him to be where his game was. And he gave us a great interview for that. I don't reckon for a million moments that we're going to get another interview like that. That's one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, probably. And, you know, we're very grateful for that. Anyway, we're digressing a little bit. So, you know, Lost and Beyond, Kerry, is... if that art style is accurate, play at your discretion. There may actually be kids turned away from that, of course.
I mean, to be fair, do you remember that kid who was playing that top-down Dark Souls game?
Yeah.
And he just kept dying and he just kept repeating it. It was like, I really want to have a go now. Just fuck off. You're underaged.
Yeah, and to be fair, the dev was like...
Yeah, the dev, even the dev was getting pissed off at this kid.
Yeah, to be fair, one thing, yes, he's playing his game, but at the same time, other people want to play his game.
I mean, I will grant it, he did get further than I did, in it.
Yeah, but you also had more goes than you did, though.
That is true.
But yeah, Lost and Beyond is going to be amazing, I'm sure. Alex, your next choice.
Okay, so one of the standout ones, because it's got me written all over it, is Gatewalkers.
Okay.
Gatewalkers is a cooperative action RPG game with survival elements, where players travel across different worlds in order to save their own. Explore I don't know what that word says. I can't read that word. PROCEDURALLY.
Procedurally created. Yeah.
Procedurally so-and-so word that Matt just said. Generated worlds. Face hostile inhabitants. Face challenges like extreme weather conditions, toxic atmospheres, and lack of water, and more.
What that means, Alex, is that every single time you play the game, it's different. It generates the world based on what you do.
Now, obviously, I think games like this get a lot of shit because, obviously, last time we had a game that was explore all kinds of different worlds and have endless possibilities was No Man's Sky. And as we know, that was basically just empty Minecraft in space. Without any building.
They did fix it, of course.
Yes, but they didn't fix it for like 3-4 years.
Everyone
was fed up with it.
One of the best games out there now, for sure. But at the time...
Just a heads up, if you're releasing a game, don't bullshit about everything that you intended it to be but aren't actually going to add because you didn't have enough time. And rather than delaying it, you just threw it out there. We've learned about this in the past.
Sorry, Cyberpunk.
Just saying.
That seems like a good way to ruin your game's reputation before it even gets anywhere.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what Cyberpunk did. Yeah, and No Man's Sky did.
Great presentation at EGX Cyberpunk, and it didn't go well from there.
Fallout 76, Marvel Avengers. There is plenty of people that released too soon that... To meet the numbers rather than just to hold it back. At the end of the day, I'd rather wait. I know we all get fed up and they're like, oh, why did they release the game when it's not ready? And everyone's a hypocrite in themselves because they just complain that it's not out yet. But end of the day, you want the game right, don't you? If the game sucks because it's buggy as shit and doesn't run on release, it just sours it completely, doesn't it?
And it amazes me that the AAAs struggle so much. I've just these amazing little produced, these tiny little companies produce a game which is enjoyable to play, is escapist, and is just it. They do a better job sometimes.
Yeah, you know, the one that always amazes me is the fact that after all these years of games sucking, like Fallout 76, like No Man's Sky, Cyberpunk was released too early. They all just seem to follow the same path where they just get released too early to meet the market, don't they?
But they'd be so much more successful if they were able just to wait that little bit longer and perfect everything. It means people would get frustrated and they'd voice their frustrations that everything is taking too long. But at the same time, wouldn't you rather wait a little bit longer for a much higher quality of game than to get something, pay 50, 60 quid for it and be like, wow, this is honestly kind of hot garbage?
Well, look at 76. Luckily, me and Matt went half on that and we still got ripped off.
you're not kidding.
Not least, paid 60 quid for that game and it was just trash.
Not least, and then to make that free on Game Pass.
And to make it better, before they added NPCs in a proper storyline, they added £100 a year microtransaction service.
Excuse you?
Yeah.
Fallout Locker, was it?
Something along those lines, yeah.
Basically, for £100 a year before the game is even fixed and we add NPCs in a real storyline, you can give us £100 a year for unlimited inventory in private sessions,
which were meant to be free at release.
In-game credits to buy skins.
How about I give you £100 at the beginning and you deliver me a good finished game?
It would have gotten all the interest. Needless to say, now that Microsoft owned Bethesda, I doubt they may be making the same mistake again. So hopefully, nice finished games coming our way. Right. Mine was quite a short pick, but this one is a pick I had in mind. I showed Kerry it the other day, and Kerry was like, yes. Gas Station Simulator.
Yes.
Yes.
Buy an abandoned gas station and restore it to its full glory. Renovate, upgrade, and expand upon off-road services to keep up with your client's demand. Such a simple idea, and yet so amazing. Ever since the whole simulator thing has been done to death, we've had Goat Simulator. We've technically got Goose Simulator thanks to Untitled Goose Game. We've got all these different simulators nowadays. We've never done Gas Station Simulator. This is going to be fun.
I mean, the last simulator game I played was Euro Truck Simulator, and I have to admit, that is a solid game.
To be fair, Bus Simulator is quite good as well.
Snakey Bus is also fun, but that's Snakey not a proper simulator. And, but it has buses.
And Train Sim World is quite good. It's all on the Game Pass, by the way. There's loads of simulators on the Game Pass.
Flight Simulator.
Flight Simulator, I can't fly on things on that. But this,
I start my flights in midair so I don't have to take off because I can't do it.
But this game, it sounds like something you can just pick up and play, and it's going to be a nice, it's going to be quite pleasurable. This is the sort of game which hopefully is going to be like Farm Simulator is, which is just chill. I say as someone who has still got to go and cultivate his crops later.
Nice.
Indeed. Just wholesome things, you know. I started playing that and Graham from Good Cop, Bad Cop said to me, do you have to get up? Is it real time? Like, no. No, I'm going to get up and crack a door and go cultivating or nothing. No. I've got to do that. It's not in real time. Because if that was the case, I'd have to hire someone to do it for me whilst I was at work.
I'd have to admit, I'd probably give up fairly quickly if it was on real time. No. I need my 3.5 hours of broken sleep or whatever. Play Harvest Moon. It's not a real time.
But Gas Station Simulator is one I'll be playing for sure. Kerry, go round and round again. Have you got one more for us? Or have you got you've got a third couple at the same time? You can do.
Well, I had Gas Station Simulator on that list because that does it's as you said, you showed me this and I was like, yes. But for this is our last go round?
You can throw a few in this one, it's fine.
All right. Well, the one I want to talk about now is called Harp Song. It's an action-adventure game set in ancient Ireland, inspired by Irish mythology, and is about an ongoing war between the old gods. And there's apparently fae elements, and the scenery looks beautiful. Dangerous enemies, and you've got to kind of restore everything. Like, that sounds like something I'd be interested in.
Always a good thing. Always a good thing if you're interested in it, for sure. It sounds brilliant. It really does. You got any more to throw in there, Kerry? You got to go throw a couple in there, why not? Maybe if we go along, it's fine.
Let's see. I've been told Humans Fall Flat is fun by my youngest brother.
I have played Humans Fall Flat. It is extremely good fun. Think of it as like an open world version of what's the word I'm looking for here? Gang Beasts. Which is good fun as well. Gang Beasts is good fun as well, though, to be fair.
Or like less competitive Fall Guys.
Yes, which is going to be there as well, by the way, which people can take part in person and win prizes.
Get in. Are we still only doing the rest section, or can I bring something from the big section in now?
Anywhere you want to go.
War Mongrels from the big section.
Oof, War Mongrels sounds great.
It does. An isometric real-time tactics game that takes place on the Eastern Front of World War II. This part of the war has been receiving less attention in gaming, even though it ended or changed a considerable number of lives and brought forward many stories of courage, camaraderie, but also further proof of twisted societies than the darkest parts of the human character. That's another one I saw on the list and just went, yes.
It is amazing how many war games don't feature on the part which technically lost Germany the war.
Mm. And just going to throw it in there, Fall Guys. It's a game I've always enjoyed watching people play and I want to play it myself.
It's a game I've never played. It's a game I'd like to play. It's a game that a lot of people will be very much enjoying. I'll get a handle on that. Can't wait for that.
Okay, that's me done, I think.
Excellent stuff. Mr. Alex, what's your last couple picks? Two or three, what have you got?
Yeah, I think I got three. We can always cut bits out, though. To speed up. So one game that did stand out to me on the rest section, which I think is going to be hitting people right in the feels, is Best Month Ever.
Mm.
This one looks rough. Life is hard for Louise, a single mother struggling to make ends meet every day. Yet things can worsen. So once she finds out she's terminally ill and doesn't have much time left to secure her growing up, Life is hard for Louise, a single mother struggling to make ends meet every day. Yet things worsen once she finds out that she is terminally ill and doesn't have much time left to secure grown-up son Mitch's future. She decides to hit the road and spend one last month together. All I'm going to say is that game is going to hit people right in the feels.
Oh, God. Sucker punch to the gut of a game.
That's intense.
Yeah.
Another game that stands out, it doesn't really explain much, but you just have to look at the art style to tell it's looks pretty good. It's cool. I'm probably going to fuck up this name proper. Arcania. Oh no, Arcania, that sounds
right. Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
And it sounds like it's on a Switch, which is always a good thing.
Yes.
Touch, hold, slide, and for the first time ever, use the Joy-Con controller. Controllers guide through the world of Arcania. Feel the rhythm of the vast Nintendo collection of songs that is now fully available on the Nintendo Switch. So it sounds a bit like a rhythm game, which can always be fun, to be fair. It's been a while since I played a rhythm game as well.
If we're done right, then you bet we will.
And you know what? I'm not going to go to the main game section. I'm going to actually pick out one other game from Rest.
Okay.
Here we go. Spellbound, The Magic Within. Spellbound, The Magic Within is a choose-your-own-adventure style visual novel. Jump into the world of magic, witchcraft, and mystery as a magician in training. Interact with a host of unusual characters, choose multiple schools of magic, bond with your tutors, and maybe even save the world.
It does sound good.
It's got magic, so, and it's very just typical looking magic people. Magic people, what great wording, Alex. It looks fun.
Yeah,
the art style's really pleasing.
It's really, really pleasing.
And right underneath that stuff did also catch my eye, which you're a teddy bear in a first-person shooter in a little girl's dreams. Shooting off other monsters and toys.
Yikes.
That is wholesome.
Fun. Not entirely so wholesome. A graphic
version of Splatoon.
It does a little bit of fair. Just so you know about that game, by the way, Spellbound, that doesn't release until March 31st next year. So
that's not that far.
So we are getting a nice advanced look at this. This is why people should be going to Rest and going to EGX. You get the chance to play these games long before they come out sometimes.
Support the independent developers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can pre-order it now on Steam for that one, of course. Right, I've got a couple which have caught my eye to finish up with. Blooming Business Casino. Because basically we've done every other kind of property management game. Why not casino? Build, run your own snazzy virtual casino, an exciting joint full of drama, danger, and crazy cute animals. Manage your staff, guests, and unique VIP so everyone is happy and the cash keeps flowing. How will you make sure the house always wins? Yes, would you be a crook? Well, let's face it, most of them are crooks, aren't they? Just state the fact. Another one I'm looking forward to is from the main section, though. This is the game which is doing the rounds heavily on PS5 and on PC. It's Deathloop.
This one I have heard a lot about. I know it's really popular at the moment.
People are mad about Deathloop and they're loving it. It's the next gen FPS, of course. The studio behind Dishonored, which of course is owned by Xbox now because it was purchased as part of the Bethesda deal. Problem is that the deal for Deathloop was signed before the deal with Microsoft went through. So this is a PlayStation exclusive for a year.
So it is coming to Xbox eventually.
Next September. But it's two rival assassins trapped in a mysterious time loop on the island of Black Reef, doomed to repeat the same day for eternity.
Isn't there a TV show a bit like that at the moment where they keep repeating the same day?
Possibly. I don't watch a lot of Prime, I've got to admit.
I might have to look that up because that sounds a bit like that show. Obviously, it's not about two assassins.
Mm.
But it sounds like the same thing, all but on the description.
It's gonna be a good one for sure. There's a couple of other ones from the main section which deserve mentioning, of course. One is Alien Fireteam Elite, which is set in the iconic Alien universe. And it's a cooperative third-person survival shooter that drops your fire team of hardened marines into a desperate fight against the evolving xenomorph threat. Everyone knows how much I am equally terrified by and love the Alien franchise. So this should be good fun to play with my mates at the same time, for sure. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Destroy All Humans. Destroy All Humans, which is a cult classic, of course. It was remastered, came out last year, and I'm playing for the PS1.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember playing this one. And the graphics have jumped so much in the remaster.
I just remember when you were playing as Crypto the first time around, and you probe the cow mentally, you dirty people. And it, the cow goes moo, and the person on your headphone says moo, primitive yet profound.
Yep. And then you have the big laser which obliterates everything it hits.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So yeah, it'd be nice to get to relive some of my childhood playing that for sure. And of course, Back for Blood, which, assuming they've taken the racist language out, is good to get me hands on, because it's certainly a follow-up to Left 4 Dead. So one of the best arcade-style zombie shooters of all time. And in case you're wondering why I mentioned racist language there, it's because they actually played the... they put the beta out, and they actually heard racist language being hurled, which means that had to be actually recorded for that. So it has been removed now. Although I'd be asking questions about who let that slip through in the first place. Right, so that's just a little selection of what we have to look forward to at EGX. There's so much more to look forward to, of course. And we'll bring you the update about that, how good some of the games were, and if they weren't good, we'll be equally as honest about that, of course, on our next show in 2 weeks' time. But for right now, it's the time which we've all been waiting for. Alec, me and Alex are going to plop up our cushion right now, and we are going to hand it over now to Kerry to tell us about Greedfall, a game which we've both got access to, and we haven't. Well, if we have, certainly haven't put the amount of time into it that you have, Miss Kerry. So, take it away.
Oh boy, now I'm nervous. Yes, Greedfall. It's actually a game that Alex showed me the trailer for back when I didn't have an Xbox. Back when I had got quite a lot of use out of my PS4, I think. Remember Alex showing me this trailer to the game? I thought, yeah, this looks pretty good. And being honest, I couldn't afford it at the time. I can't always afford £50 games. But then when I got the Xbox, it was one of the ones on the Game Pass. So along with about 10 other games, I was downloading it. And Greedfall happened to be the one I played first. And none of the other games have really had a look in.
It's been that good for you, has it?
It wouldn't be too much of a stretch to say it's probably the best game I've played in many, many years. It probably makes my top 5 games that I've ever played, to be honest.
That's quite the accolade you've given it.
And I say that as someone who hasn't played anywhere near nearly as many games as you and Alex, but I think there's nothing wrong with ranking it that high.
No, it's entirely your opinion, of course. And fairly, Greedfall has got quite the following.
I was reading a discussion about it, and it's a fantastic game, but somebody said, could you imagine what it would be like if this was a AAA game? How much bigger it could have been. But I think it's good the way it is.
Sometimes when AAA studios get hold of a franchise, they can say, well, that's all great and everything, but try doing it our way. This game was meant to be this way.
Hmm. I've even wrote up a little info dump.
Hit us with it, Kerry. We are eager to hear your thoughts.
It's a 2019 action RPG by a studio called Spiders, set in an early 17th century style fantasy setting, and it's on quite a few consoles now, from what I can gather. It's very much a game where the choices you make impact the whole story. You play as somebody called Desade, with no first name. You can pick that if you want to, not officially. And you are legate of the congregation of merchants in this world. So you got quite a high ranking for being a fairly young character. It's a customizable character game, so you can be male or female and pick what you look like, except for one detail, which is kind of a birthmark on your character's face. There's a whole story behind that, which I'm not sure how much time I've got, so I'm not sure if I'll get into it. Doesn't overly matter too much. I think the only thing in my experience that the gender of your character makes is your choice in romantic prospects later on. And, oh boy, where do I go from next? It's a fairly long game. It's 30 to 40 hours, and I've completed it 1.5 times so far. I say half because I'm running a second file to make much better choices than I did on my first one. My first file got a little bit murder hobo-y by accident.
How do you mean a little bit murder hobo-y?
I killed a few important people I wasn't supposed to kill because, for as an example, on my first file, there's a mission where you have to sneak into a camp, break some people out, and get them out. My first file, I killed the guards. My second file, it took after about 4 or 5 attempts, I managed to sneak around every single one to find the key.
It does sound like Alex's every other run on Skyrim.
Every other run?
Well, to be fair.
The other runs are clean runs. I can never get over my first run of Skyrim because there was a glitch back then where you couldn't drop your bounty in Morrowcarf. You couldn't like sleep the night to drop it. So in the end, I just had to leave Morrowcarf because I had like 106,000 gold bounty there.
Jesus.
I wasn't allowed to be arrested. And obviously I couldn't afford to pay my bounty because it was a glitch. So every time I went to Morrowcarf to do something, I had to kill all the guards first.
Yeah.
They call that serial killer, Alex. Yeah, okay, continue to kill.
Yeah, like I was saying, there are several endings to this game. And on the first one, I got a good one, but I didn't get the best one. And a lot of the endings, getting them differs by only a few choices. Like there's an election, who you pick as the High King or Queen. That has an effect on the ending. Whether or not you kill a certain doctor, that has an effect on the ending. Whether or not you convince somebody to tell the truth about their whole religious, I'm going to call it a sham, a religion's a sham. That has a fairly big impact on the ending. And of course, the final choice you make in the final boss. Well, I got to that. I had already been spoiled for the ending at that point, but I still had to sit there for 5 minutes deciding whether or not I was going to
do something.
Yeah.
To be fair, you're being very coy, and we do appreciate you being coy about not being too much in case people want to go and play this after you're reviewing it. I was having flashbacks of D&D. We talked about religion being a sham there, by the way, as well.
Something for San and Shambles to bond over.
Yes, indeed. It's amazing how art can imitate life sometimes.
Mm. So it's quite an open-ended game, I'm going to say. You've got the main storyline and you've got all your side quests too. The trouble is, as much as I want to go into detail, I feel like I can't.
Well,
on the off chance I review to ever play it, well, for anyone listening.
Is there a favourite side quest you like? Because side quests aren't mission critical.
I don't have a favourite specifically, but get a bunch of companion characters, and their side quests are usually quite fun to do, because then you get to know more about them.
Always good, because I love how some of the lore they've stacked into games sometimes, and sometimes you can only find it by looking through like little leaflets you pick up. So it's nice they've got like proper stories that are built through the actual missions, and you build a relationship with them, sort of thing. And you're like, well, yeah. I don't like you, so first try to get to kill you, your head on a spike.
I think one of the main reasons I didn't get the greatest ending on my first one is because one of the companion characters She's called Aphra, and in my opinion, she feels a little bit underdeveloped compared to the companion characters. She's also kind of a bitch when you first meet her.
I see.
So I kind of ignored her for as long as possible until I realized I couldn't ignore her for the main quest reasons, which sucked.
This is a thing, Kiri.
Yeah. So you get 5 companion characters, and they've all got their stories, their side quests, and again, everything ties up to the ending. One of your companion characters, probably can't really say who. Well, 2 of them you can lose permanently. The others will just very much dislike you.
Oof.
You do it all wrong. One of them, if it goes badly, you have to either kill them yourselves or they do take their own life.
Oof.
And one of them decides to leave your party forever because you're just a massive bell end, I'm going to say.
Oof.
Because you betray them, in a sense. And I don't want to get that ending because I'm somewhat fond of the companion characters.
That's always a good thing if you are, but I'm guessing the achievement for you to do that, unfortunately, at some point, so you may have to at some point, Kerry.
Yeah. With the first one I mentioned, where you have to kill them or they take their own life, I'm not sure that's what I'm going to be able to do because I just like the character too much. He became probably my favourite character in the end. Do I go through the things I like and I don't like about the game now that I've been kind of rambling nonsensically about it?
Of course you can, yes.
Okay. I'm going to start with the biggest thing I don't like about the game first.
Okay, go for it.
This is just kind of a bit of a bugbear for me. When you pass the credits, you're reverted to your last save file where you were before the final boss. It feels, to me, that just kind of cheapens the ending of the game a little. So it's as if the very end part never happened and you can just go back and keep looping that bit over and over. It's just something I don't personally like on a game.
You like an ending.
Yeah, I like and a solid ending.
And then if you load it up, it is the aftermath sort of thing.
I think that's the only major thing I dislike about the game. The rest is all nitpicky things. Like, it's a small studio, so the animation isn't going to be perfect 100% of the time. Some of the mouth movements were a bit weird when people are talking.
Some a little bit like badly dubbed Japanese films.
Yeah. Some of the borders on items are really odd. Like, if you're running through trees, there are certain trees you can run through, and then you've got identical looking trees that you can't run through. And being caught on really odd borders is just kind of an annoyance, especially if you're trying to follow somebody and you get caught on a random ass rock that you can't even see properly.
Ouch.
What else is there? Sorry, I had all this written down. I wrote a big long info dump, went quite in depth, and then realized I can't really talk about any of this because this is all spoilers. I did it in true Kerry fashion.
So what about replayability?
Oh, I'd definitely say it's got replayability. For the different endings, for the different choices you make, different skills you want to obtain, different romantic prospects. It's totally not the reason I started a second file originally and then decided I wanted to get a perfect run instead.
Yeah, when you know that you've come to a part coming up, I do like having like a different save file. And I think one point on GTA back in GTA 4, I literally had like 10 saves in case I need to backtrack a little bit more sort of thing. It's what I used to call the three finger bookmark.
Yeah.
In Choose Your Own Adventure books, because literally you have one finger there, one finger on another page, and a finger on another page. So yeah. You could go back if you wanted to go back, sort of thing. It's the same thing. That's exactly what we used to do back in the old days when we were reading Death Trap Dungeon rather than playing the game.
Yeah.
It was amazing how that would happen. So it's like we all did that, Kerry, yeah.
It's like I'm currently doing that on my, I'm just going to call it my perfect run file. because it's not perfect. There's a lot of soft resetting involved because you've got different skills. Like on this file, I've maxed out my charisma, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be able to talk my way out of everything every single time. There are still times it's going to fail and backfire horribly. And because I am aiming for the best ending, obviously you want everything to work. So you do have to backtrack and have several different save files all at different points. And if you're like me, you save just because you want to watch certain cutscenes again and again. My Xbox is going to run out of space at some point. Even with the extra storage.
The beautiful thing about your game saves is they're in the cloud, Kerry, so you ain't gonna worry about that.
Oh, that's a point, yeah.
So that's always a good thing. Alex, do you have any questions about Greedfall that Kerry can answer?
Not that I can think of.
She's answering the questions she can answer pretty much without being spoilery, which I do applaud you for, because when me and Alex reviewed our games, they were all over 10 years old. Yours is like really recent, so I do appreciate you sticking to spoiler-free. You will do
can
a spoiler.
I be a dick,
you can be a dick.
Yes, you can be a colossal dick, and you can make everybody hate you if that's what you want. You can be the worst legate that anyone has ever seen.
Sounds like a
Call Me
Kevin playthrough.
Yeah. What do I like? I'm going to think of some non-spoilery things I like. I like the character development. I know that's kind of a bit of a weak point, but that's one of the most important things in games for me, is to have likable characters.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the worst things you could do is have a character you don't like as the main character. For example, it's like when you play Life is Strange and you've got to play as Chloe, for example, and no one likes Chloe. I'm saying that just to trigger Alex, and I'm getting the side eye from him now. And he also knows I'm joking. Chloe's amazing. But in Assassin's Creed, it's a perfect example. You've got these great assassins like Altair and Ezio, and then you get Connor. He's just not the best. But in fairness, he is living up to Ezio. So,
the biggest problem with Assassin's Creed games is the next every assassin game they give us, people compare him to Ezio in Altair, which actually I'm not even going to put Altair on the list because he sucked.
I think Altair wasn't as good as Ezio because the first game, unfortunately, we made most of it of Altair, it just wasn't. The control scheme just wasn't as good as it was in later games. So I think it was more restrictive, unfortunately.
You know which game was the best?
Go on.
Assassin's Creed 2. Just straight up, it's the best game in the series.
It is pretty sweet, for sure. So character development is definitely very, very important, Kerry. So don't say like it's a weak-ass thing to say. It's not. You've nailed it.
It's like, all your companion characters, I know I said earlier that one of them, Aphra, does feel fairly underdeveloped compared to others. She still has a distinct personality, and it does change. Like, she does become less of an asshole as time goes on. All the others, playing it well, I feel like I could pick out distinct personality traits for each of them. The only slightly less likable one, and this is kind of wandering into your mileage may vary territory, as I find the player character of Desade is kind of a doormat at times. I mean, you can make the choices to be like, no, go do it yourself. But most of the time, you're just kind of treated as a glorified errand boy and everybody walks on you. Except Konstantin, your cousin. Konstantin is always good. That's a lie. Konstantin is not always good. He's the only one who doesn't kind of treat Desade like a doormat at times. I guess it's kind of the curse of being the main character, though, is you have to sort of please people with your diplomacy and your glorified errand boy status. But it does feel like everyone just kind of takes you for a mug most of the time. Like, we should go to this place and do this. Okay, we go to that place and do that. but actually we need to go to this place. That's a 14-hour travel across the map. Thank God for fast travel.
Fast travel is a good thing to have in a game. I hate having... Again, I'm going to compare that sort of thing with Skyrim and Assassin's Creed. We have to ride everywhere by horse to unlock certain things. It just takes forever. So fast traveling is essential in games.
Do you remember the walk from Whiterun around the mountain so to Ivarstead so you could walk up the 7,000 steps? How long? That was like, if you were walking that, that was like an hour and a half to 2 hours of walking, wasn't it?
Jesus.
From Whiterun to Ivarstead up the mountain.
You walk it? Yes. That's why you don't walk it. You run at full pace.
And try and climb over it, over every single object, despite the fact that it's not meant, you're not meant to climb, and it would have been faster to go take the path.
Yeah, it would have been faster to take the path, but you think, no, I'm going to go add the crow flies. I'm literally going to go straight as this road. And what? And yes, I am running up a straight cliff. Broken as hell. Fast travel is so important, for sure. So Greedfall have nailed that one clearly very well.
I'm going to say I've actually learned how to use map controls like with the crow flies, because you do have a little map bar at the top.
Yeah.
And it will tell you if you're going in the right direction. It just won't tell you if there's a massive-ass mountain or a crevice in the way.
Again, Skyrim does exactly the same thing. Tells you.
Yeah. So you're like, gotta find my way around.
You'll head towards it, and you'll be like, this chasm wasn't meant to be here. I'll go plunging into it head first and die.
Luckily, thanks to borders on Greedfall, you can't plunge headfirst into a crevice and die. Otherwise, I would have done it many times by now.
All I know about plunging into a crevice and dying, because you go in as the crow flies, is heading to Whiterun. You're going from Whiterun to Markarth, because then you do end up falling down a hill and dying normally.
It's true. GTA is a similar sort of thing, unfortunately, and Red Dead Redemption. It's so easy. We tried to do that, Alex, before, haven't we? Playing multiplayer online on Red Dead. And we've tried going at the crow flies, because as far as they're concerned, it's a flat map.
Oh no, I crashed into a cactus.
It's a cactus, or worse sometimes, a crocodile.
Yeah. I've never understood logic of barriers in games, to be fair, sometimes. Like in Greedfall, there's a canyon, you can't pass it, fair enough. GTA, my tank can't drive past this bush. Because the bush isn't designed to break.
Video game physics, aren't they wonderful?
I adore it. I adore him like that, for sure. Right, I'm not going to make you... I'm not going to force you to give us any more... Try to dance around any more spoilers, Kerry.
Have one more shout-out, sorry.
Go for it.
As with every good adventure game, soundtrack, scenery. 10 out of 10.
Absolutely, which leads me then to ask you to deliver your first ever rating, Kerry, which, as we always do on Game Junkies, is out of 10.
This is actually a hard one for me, because I've genuinely fallen in love with this game, but I'm trying not to let that cloud my judgment of it.
No, you can. Absolutely you can, because there's no way Alex is going to say Mass Effect 3 isn't the best game he's ever played.
That's fair. I mean, we've all got our preferences. I think I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10, if I can.
Okay.
The only things for me that let it down are I don't like revert to last save file endings. I feel like your companion characters, whilst they are developed, they could be a little more in-depth.
Mm.
Just like your character's personal relationships with their friends and their lover and the people around them could be a little more in-depth, because they do feel very surface level. Although it is kind of sweet. The rest of it's just polish, really. Like, it's fucking annoying getting caught on a piece of grass when you're trying to follow someone and the game's like, oh, nope, they got away. You have to restart. It's like, I got caught on a literal piece of grass. I am like a massive beefy human. My strength stat is maxed out. I got caught on a piece of grass.
You're beef.
I am beef. Also, it's a very, very petty thing, but when you're playing as female Desade, I think it's they didn't record a lot of the lines. You still get referred to as he quite a lot of it.
Ooh.
It's just slightly immersive.
That do that, I've noticed, where they don't, where they forget to record some lines in the miscorrect.
Yeah.
They get something wrong like that.
It's a little immersion breaking, but nothing that destroys the game. I've kind of chalked it up to, it's the 17th century. I guess not enough women had swords back then.
So 8.5, so that's an 85% from Kerry. That's a pretty good score then.
Yeah.
Pretty good score for especially for a studio which is not a AAA. That's very, very good, Kerry. Very, very good indeed. We will be revisiting Greedfall down the line, where Kerry will be giving a spoiler full review. So we will make sure you guys know ahead of time when that's coming. And I've dipped into by then as well, so Kay won't be flying solo on that one.
I hope you're all ready for a very long one.
It's going to be good. It's going to be amazing fun for sure.
I could talk forever about this. I've bored my poor best friend to death over this game. They don't play Xbox games, and I've bored them to death.
Well, I'm sure that the junkies out there will be happy to hear about it. Something else which they may be happy to hear about is what we've been playing on the road to EGX. Apart from Greedfall, Kerry, what have you been playing? Now you have the white shiny S.
Yes, my shiny Xbox. Well, obviously I've been playing tons of Dungeons & Dragons, but it's still not enough Dungeons & Dragons. Not until we're playing it every day, then it's enough. But I've also...
Alex just winced, by the way.
No, I'm just tired.
he wins because, in fairness, we are getting a little burnt out, to be fair. We need a refreshing holiday. Oh, wait, we're going to play video games for 4 days. That'd be brilliant.
Right. I don't know if you remember a while back when we were talking about games that just didn't quite hit it for us.
Yeah.
One of my high picks was GTA. And I've kind of been dipping back into it with Alex and I don't know my grammar, List brother. He is a massive GTA fan. He is too young to play the game, but he is a massive fan of it. I've been playing it with him. Mostly it just involves us buying clothes and driving around in his flying car.
That's not a bad thing.
We did the KO Preco and it only took us 3 tries, given I kept forgetting how to pull my gun out.
To be fair, you are still new to the game, as it were, so you can be forgiven for that. No excuse for me blowing up the boat.
And I wouldn't necessarily say it's my type of game, but I want to go back to it, give it a fairer score than I did.
That sounds fair. That's good.
Other than that, yeah, tons and tons of Dungeons & Dragons in Greedfall.
Greedfall, GTA and Dungeons and Dragons, always good time. And obviously, of course, we are also preparing a Blade in the Dark with Caitlin over on the Mind Game, of course. So we're looking forward to that coming up in the future.
For the first time, the term GM actually works better.
Yeah.
Because they're not a dungeon master this time around, they're being a games master.
Indeed.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be amazing fun for sure. We will be tweeting it out as soon as we start dropping those episodes over on the Mind Games. Alex, apart from Dice and Suffering, what have you been doing this week?
Let's see.
Could we played a bit of GTA. We played a bit of GTA this week.
Obviously, a bit early, I know, but time frame doesn't allow it. We recorded the Dungeons & Dragons Halloween special, which this year is going to be a three-parter released over 3 days.
It is a huge boy.
Yeah, me and Matt actually played GTA yesterday as a recording this Friday night.
Yes.
Which was definitely interesting. I spent a lot of money on airstrikes, and I reckon we must have killed about 100 odd people.
We were quite impressed, because we've done that sort of thing before, and the frame rate has not been good, but the X and the S dealt with it absolutely brilliantly.
Is this I was going to ask, is this blocking the highway and then calling it airstrike?
Yeah.
I've watched Alex do it before. It looks great.
We did it with the X and the S. First of all, we've done it with the new consoles. Basically, you get a truck and block the road, and usually it ends up literally like two frames a second, maybe. This was like this was like full the full 60 frames. I'm like, yes,
that's amazing.
I've also been playing a bit of Idle Champion, which is the official D&D Beyond's like mobile game for D&D. Because recently they've been releasing Oxventure characters. So far, they've released Prudence and Corazon Debane, which I've unlocked both of them now. Oh my god, Corazon was a bastard to get, but I finally got him.
Well, Corazon, he was hiding. He was hiding. That's what he was doing.
No, it's just the boss is an absolute bastard and doesn't die. But yeah, I've got him now. And obviously, as Matt said, we're preparing for Blaze in the Dark, so we've been making characters, and that was surprisingly hard. I'm just going to say it now. The character sheet confused me so much, despite the fact it's got like a quarter of the stuff that the D&D character sheet has.
It's good. It's good, though. I'm looking forward to it. It's, once you know what you're doing with it, it's fine.
Yeah, once you know what you're doing, it's simple as anything, but it's so difficult to explain. And honest to God, I don't know if you've read the rule book yet, Willis, but the character creation description doesn't explain anything properly for what you've actually got to do on the sheet.
Hands up, you're going to be bringing your book with you to the sessions.
Yeah.
You're going to hear us rattling the pages every 5 seconds.
I've got to like binge watch Blades in the Dark from Oxventure before we play this.
It's basically just like using your D6s or a normal dice nowadays, as you call it.
And it's literally you're just going to turn up to the session with just that.
I don't like it.
The only thing you need for Blades in the Dark is a single D6.
Yeah, it is.
Roll a one.
Oh dear, you fail with bad consequences then. It really is that simple. It's designed to be a simple game to play. And I like that.
I feel naked without my collection of D20s in different colours.
Although you can still keep them, you just can't roll them. to quote Prudence from Oxventure, I remain huffy. So, is there anything else, Alex, which you have been playing?
The problem is I can never remember what I play. I've been playing Cookie Clicker. I'm now making 1 billion cookies a second. 1.3 billion, sorry.
Okay, so you're halfway to China then. Okay, cool.
Have you been playing Choices?
Either way, playing Choices.
Not for a while, actually.
He will be now.
So far, I've got 581 billion cookies in my inventory so far. Hold on.
Very good, Alex. Very good. it actually can't keep up, yes. Very good, Alex. Very good. That's going about 1 million every second. Very good.
A billion every second.
Indeed. What have I been playing? Obviously, as I said, played GTA this week. I've been playing the F1, obviously, loving doing that. Hitman gets regular visitations, of course. I've been getting back in Animal Crossing, had a Halloween, of course. It's always good fun to bump into Jack wandering around the island, always good fun. And I also bought a new game this week for my Switch. I jumped into the sale. There's a massive sale going on the Switch right now. Big, big game, about 33% off. Always worth a look. This game was available for £8. And I bought it based on Kerry's recommendation.
Which one?
Undertale.
Oh.
Ryan, you mentioned this.
I purchased Undertale. And, I'm going into this with a bit of meta in my head because I know what happens in certain situations in this game. But at the same time, I'm also like, I'm not going to die in this game. So if you come at me, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, God, Matt, you're fucked.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is that I've down last time I checked, I've got like 11 HP left, so I'm not willing to, I'm not risking dying. So if you're gonna, if it's me or you, it's gonna be you who dies.
I mean,
his name is Manel. He's going to get the bad ending. He is fucked. Kerry's probably gonna stab him.
Nah,
just saying.
You get the neutral ending if you start murdering, but you don't murder everyone. It's like, they're like, you probably could have killed less people. You can talk your way out of most, not even talk, because Frisk is mute, but...
I flirted with a few people.
That works.
I was going to say, if you murder the, if you murder Toriel, I'm going to stab you.
If you murder Papyrus, I'll stab you. He's a precious angel.
I haven't met them yet. I'm still in the first dungeon bit.
Hang on.
This is where we, for a bit of a tape, this is where we'll be getting the customary Papyrus arrival. There he is.
Precious baby.
He is a precious baby.
He is absolutely precious. And I always imagine him to talk like Skeletor.
He looks like Reed after hanging out with Damien.
Yeah, accurate, to be fair. To be fair, I've also been playing Sherlock Holmes. Oh. Back from the old 360 era, this is. I got this on the 360 back in the day as a Game of Gold. And it got an Xbox One like enhancement pack. And it's still playable now. It's very enjoyable. Even if I know the story, you can choose what your outcome to be, so you can always have a different ending to each case. It's great. It's
pretty cool.
It is really cool. And I'll let you guys have a little look at it when we in the evenings after hours thing. It's been brilliant. We can actually be like five, not quite five steps, but on the doorstep of our hotel is EGX. So we can literally go to the after show, and if you want to, we can after we record some footage, which we will do at some point, no doubt. So yeah, I think we are pretty much set for EGX. How about we quickly remind everybody of where to stay in contact with us while we head off? Kerry, do you want to give the social information required?
Yes. Well, I'm Sherrybeans on Twitter, where I lurk and don't really post anything. Sometimes I feel I should, but I don't really know.
To be fair, you've been very supportive and retweeting of my charity work the last month. You've been amazing for that, as was Alex. And you have been tweeting and retweeting about the people we're going to be seeing at EGX, to be fair. So,
well, I mean, it's important stuff.
It is important stuff. So I'd class that as not lurking, that's involvement. That's good.
And I'm going to plug it, because we do every time. You should follow the Dungeon Junkies Art Instagram. Yes, it's been a little quiet lately, but you know what they say. Reflection takes time. Also, if you're at EGX and you see somebody walking around in a Nort's cape from Greedfall, it's probably me.
Absolutely. Alex?
Of course, you can find me at Spiderbread UK. You can find our main show at Game Junkies Pod, and you can find us at... Yeah. We're not ever going collection of Dungeons and Dragons Madness. Sorry, I'll have to repeat that.
I'm leaving this in.
And of course, you can find our ever-growing collection of Dungeons and Dragons Madness at Dungeon Junkies. Or if you want more Dice and Suffering, you can also visit the Mind Games for Caitlin's variation of Dungeons and Junkies.
Absolutely. You can find me at Amatech UK. And likewise, if you see a dragonborn running around in a robe carrying a crowbar, that's me.
And that's not Matt. You got to hit them. Just remember that. If you see them for a basketball, let them.
Absolutely.
I will provide the basketball.
And of course,
green fireball.
And of course, please do take a pamphlet.
I swear to God, if you start handing out pamphlets to strangers, Matt, I'm going to just like kneecap you.
And on that threatening ending, I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Kerry.
Guys, we'll see you next time. We're out of here.
We'll see you at EGX, guys. Take care. Boom.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.